Okay, we're holding today's daf is daf tes, and yesterday we just learned the two different lashonos in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's. One was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai aliba da'at atzmo, and one was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai aliba da'at Rabbi Akiva. In the first lashon, the Gemara seemed to have come out saying that actually between Alois HaShachar and Netzachama is actually Din Laila, except that it's possible to be Yotzei Kriyat Shema at night in the sense of being this astronomical night, because as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, we go up to Zman Kima, and therefore you could read Kriyachar Alois HaShachar, you could read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. The second Lashon of Rabbi Akiva was that we were coming out saying that actually, astronomically, we're talking about Yom, between the time of Netzachama and Alot HaShachar and Netzachama. The only reason you can be Yotzi Kriyat Shema Shel Laila is because there's still people sleeping during that hour. Now, on the surface, the two sugyas are opposite each other, which creates problems, because if we hold that, as Tosfos points out, Rabbi Akiva actually contradicts himself, because we'll see later on, Rabbi Akiva holds in the Mishnah, it's coming at Mishiyakir Ben Achamor La'arod, and so on. Mashma that you can read before. In any event, there are many Rishonim who learn, including the Ramban and the Rosh as well, many Rishonim who learn that the two brachos are not really contradictory, and that there's a Tzman between Alos HaShachar and Netzachama that has the halacha of being suitable for Kriyat Shema, because there are people that are getting up, and there are, I think you're sitting in the seat.
No.
I think he's sitting in Richie's seat, my monitor. Scott's away from it. Yeah, so according to this, the question is, and this is what made Tosfos, this was about forced Tosfos to learn that it was a sugya that was actually arguing with the previous sugya. It's very difficult to get going this way. I find myself talking to no one. Thank you, yes. I'm going to try to stall.
I'm sure.
Very difficult. It's okay.
That's
right. That's our sugya. But there's also, it's very interesting, we spoke about this in when we were doing Kutchim still, that the Ishar Habayit, it said we used to come approximately. Lefamim Lefnechem, Lefamim Lachrechem. You know, got to keep
like
them on their toes.
It's like a wedding in Israel.
So, well, now that Barnea's here, I think for sure we could start.
Right outside the door.
I'm sorry?
There's a surprise waiting right outside the door.
Really? Saberjack is coming
in?
Let's see. Maybe we should just start all over again. I hope he's okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I hope he's all right. I didn't see him this morning.
He went
kind of
with us.
In any event, Rabbi said, what forces Tosfos into his holding that this is two separate sugyas is because if Lomaisa the Zman Kriyat Shema is suitable to say Bein Bayom Bein Balayla between Alot HaShachar and Netzachama, then why would the Gemara, the Braitot over here, tell us a big Kiddush that sometimes a person can read Zman Kriyat Shema Pamayim Bayom or Pamayim Balayla and Beyotze? And it turns out that each one of those Braitot takes on a point before or after, and in the middle. So in other words, either before Alot HaShachar to before Netzach Ochavim, but after Alot HaShachar, or before Netzachama, but after Netzachama. But nobody says the tremendous chiddush of you can read Zman Kriyat, you can read Kriyat Shema two times in the same period between Alot HaShachar and Netzachama, and Biyote Yom HaVolayla, which is a much bigger Kiddush. So clearly the Ramban and the Rosh and the Rif are all wrong. Because how could they say that that time is actually a time that's suitable for both? You can certainly see how Pipashtus, we would want to say, that the Braitot are actually Chalukot. So Tosfos himself suggests that maybe there's a way out of that, but it could be that it wants to tell us Bedavka, according to the way he's learning, that you won't be Yotzei B'Shalayla Le'achar Hanetz. But that's only in the second one. I want to know that Chiddush. in any event, the way out of this is very clear. And that is that those Rishonim hold that there's no chalukah between these two Rishonim, in terms of the din between Alos HaShachar and Netzach Hama, they'll hold that you can choose either a Zman Kiyum or a Zman Shechivah, but you can't read one next to each other during the same period. So there needs to be some line. Either the line is Alot HaShachar, in which case if you read before you were Yotzei Shel Arvit, and if you read afterwards you could be Yotzei Lashel Kriyat Shoshel Boker, or the line is afterwards, Netzach Hama, which you can read afterwards, that'll be your Kriyat Shema Shel Boker, but you could be Yotzi if you're Mechavin to be reading Balayla, which is fascinating. It comes out that your intent is the determining factor. Are you in the process of Shechiva or Kima, so to speak, as far as your way of looking at the world is concerned? And we pointed out earlier that the concept of Shechiva and Kima is essentially a social construct, but because the entire Sugya, the entire Seder, is based on the view, the idea of Emunah, so it, by definition, is built around such constructs. That's how they would look. There'd be no machlokas between them. The Shaila that comes out over here, if you hold it, there's no chalukah, is why does it say Le'olam Yemama? Le'olam Laila. I mean, that's obviously, is two different children saying Le'olam Yemama. And vis-a-vis other mitzvot, we would say it has a din of Yom. Saying Le'olam Laila, and he's saying vis-a-vis other mitzvot, it has a din of Laila. There's many, many approaches to that sugya, which I think it's probably will be kedai to review briefly in our halachic review on Friday, Bezrat Hashem. But basically, I mean, Tosfos himself here plays with the question of what does Yemama mean in terms of all other mitzvahs, but it's a lila in terms of Kriyat Shema, which doesn't really make all that much sense because we don't use the word lila to define Kriyat Shema in terms of Shiva Vakima under the circumstances. But again, this we'll speak of later. In this... I can't measure complexity. To me, it's all hopelessly complex. I can't tell you whether it's more complex, less complex. In any event, so it continues, the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Zera, ubilvad shelo yomar hashkivenu. Now, certainly, the pashtut of the sugya implies that we're continuing on from the last thing that we said. In other words, in this last case, where you read, kodem Netzach Hama, but after Alot HaShachar, you certainly can't say Hashkivenu, because everybody's getting up. You're not going to say, now is the time in which we will go to sleep.
We just call it Zman Shechivah, since our people are going to sleep, guys.
No, there's two ways of understanding this. Rashi learns, not the way that I just said. The way that I just said is the Sarmikut, his pshat, which Tosfos holds is the most reasonable, because why would we suddenly be going back to the first version of the Braytot and say that it's talking about that if somebody was reading, as Rashi says, in a case, HaKor Kriyat Shema Shalayla Samuch LeAmud HaShachar Lo Yomar Hashkivenu. Understand, it's the Laila. Dynastosis, what does that mean? Why not? So you're reading, that's the first. In the first case, you were reading one before Alos HaShachar, for Laila, and one Le'achar Alos HaShachar, for Kriyat Shema Shalayla. So you're telling me if it's near Alos HaShachar, you cannot say Hashkivenu. Why can't you say Hashkivenu? It's outrageous. I mean, we're drawing now a new line. But according to that pshat, and this is the response to David, according to that pshat, it would mean that Rashi understands Hashkivenu as put us to bed, not allow us to sleep. So we say Lashkivatinok. It means putting to sleep. So we're not going to say Hashkivenu, I'm going to bed now at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the normal people don't go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. They wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So the fact that you want to go to bed, you can't be koveya brocha to say Hashkivenu. Vashenken, according to Tosis, according to Sarmikutzi, so then the concept of Hashkivenu is, as David assumed, directly parallel to the question of what Zman Shechiva is. If Zman Shechiva means as long as I am asleep, Hashkivenu doesn't mean put me to bed. Hashkivenu means allow us to sleep in peace. Shemer us during the course of our sleeping. In which case, how can you arbitrarily decide that Lagabe, the din of Zman Shechiva, is considered to be a time for Hashkivenu? But to say Hashkivenu, it's not a time frame. That doesn't make any sense. So Bishlema to say between the time of Alos HaShachar and Netzach Hama, Bevat Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu, That's because even dealing with social norms, you have just as many people getting up as you have going to sleep, if not more in that hour. Therefore, it's unreasonable to say that we could have a bracha that's miyuchad even for Zman Shchiva. No, the fact that you are mechaven that it should be Zman Shchiva and you could be Yotzi, we'll let you get away with that. But certainly not going to be koveya bracha on it. Okay, this is now a machlokas, how to understand the bracha of Ashkivena Lachara. It's a completely different kavona. Yeah, but this, again, these are social norms. They're not the particular das of this individual. Except in that penumbrous period, which is between Alois HaShachar and Netzach HaMachat, if you hold like those Rishonim. Otherwise, there too, it's a psak, one way or the other, depending which braita you hold of. The truth is, Kiyat Rav Yitzchak by Yosef Omar, this psak that we've been saying, Ravacha Rebbe Chanina, Omar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, Halakhic Rebbe Shimon, he keeps saying. Whether it was Halakhic Rebbe Shimon, Shamar Mishim Rebbe Akiva, he never really said it. We derived it in the context of something else that he said, because it was a maisa, where Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi was marrying off his son, and a couple of guys from the yeshiva got dead drunk in the wedding, and they got so drunk they didn't say Kriya Shema B'chlal. So then they came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to ask him whether they're allowed to say Kriya Shema. It was already now after Alois HaShachar. So what happened was, the Ahuzuga the Rabbanan Dishtakar B'yulula Devrei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, out to the Kami to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he said to them, you know, Kedayu Rabbi Shimon L'smoch Alav B'sha'at Adchak. You can be soymich on Rabbi Shimon and read even now after Alois HaShachar. So in other words, it's shayach to be yotzi kriyat rasholayla like Rabbi Shimon. In which case, we derive the fact that he holds the halacha, you could be saying on Rabbi Shimon. And the question is, if he's saying b'shas atchak, we didn't hold it's the halacha. It's an emergency. Different approaches to this as well, which we'll review on Friday. Some learn Rabbi Shimon himself only said it b'shas atchak. So therefore, if you're in a matzah b'shas, it doesn't mean what it normally means. Look, if you're really desperate, rely on Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon himself holds a filo l'chatchila, but at least you are in such a matzav, rely on Rabbi Shimon. No, that's exactly the psak of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said that b'shas atchak, if you're in a matzav where you didn't read it before, you can view this as a type of shkivatu. Continues the Mishnah now, and this is a similar situation, except that we pointed out that when we read the Mishnah, that the story of the children of Rav Gamliel, it's not clear whether they came from a nightclub or they came from a wedding. It was in the Maisa of Yeshua ben Levi. Over there, you can say that they're in a matzav of anusim. Somebody who goes to a nightclub and gets drunk is not considered to be an anus in terms of the halacha. Someone who's being eisik b'mitzvah, being misameach asim v'kala, and he went a little too far. So such a person you can call an anus. And that's the question, how do we understand really the Mishnah? That was a machlokas Rishonim, which we'll review again now. But first, let's just see what's happening. The children of Rabbi Gamliel,
much earlier than the previous case.
And not only that, I mean, they obviously, I mean, they hadn't for the first time thought of maybe learning from their father the first Mishnah in Brochus, no? I mean, the stomach he had taught them when they were kids. But you're telling me it's the first time they asked Daddy, when are we allowed to read Kriya Shema? It's absolutely outrageous. So, Yad HaShelo Shmielu Adaram Gamliel, what does that mean? They never knew what their father held about Zvan Kriya Shema. Everybody else in the world knows, only they didn't know. the shoemaker's children here. So, no, the point is like this. Of course they knew, but the question is, they wanted to know, do they have the right to rely on their father's opinion? Because, I mean, after all, I mean, Abba Yochid v'Rabbim, Malachic Rabbim. So their question was like this. There's two ways of understanding the Rabbanan, obviously. One way of understanding the Rabbanan, the Mishnah Seyat Chatzot, is that the Rabbanan basically agree with Rabbi Eliezer's approach. That when it says, B'sholch b'chov kumecha, it means the time that you are going to sleep, not the time that you're sleeping. The machlok is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim, is in what defines that time. Hatsof HaShemara Rishona, or even until midnight, people are still going to sleep. But as far as your opinion is concerned, nobody agrees with you that it's until Alois HaShachar, in which case, what are we going to be saying on you? We have to follow the Rabbi. Or, the other way of understanding the Rabbanan, the way we've been looking at it, that actually, in terms of the theory, the Rabbanan agree with Rebbe Gamliel, and that really the Zman Shechiva is as long as you are asleep, which takes you till Alois HaShachar, at least. We see the Lashon Rebbe Shimon even beyond. And the question is that they said we made a takana. So they asked their father, Rabbanan, pligelech, are the Rabbanan arguing fundamentally on your approach to B'shachrecha? In which case, we cannot rely on your opinion, because Yachid v'rabim alachak rabim. Odilma Rabbanan kavatech svirlo. Maybe actually the Rabbanan in theory agree with you, that their time is until Alot HaShachar. V'haydi kamri, hachatzot, kedei l'archik adam min ha'aveira. So all that they were saying was l'chatchila, but now that it's b'diavad, we should be able to read. And he answered them, you should know that the Rabbanan kavati svir alu, the Rabbanan actually agree with me. V'chayavim atem, v'haydi kamri hachatzot, kedei l'archik et adam min ha'aveira. So now, there's two ways, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, of understanding this. Does this mean that according to Rabbi Gamliel, there's no din of reading l'chatchila at chatzot? In other words, when he says that kol ma'ashom l'chachomim and so on and so forth, it's not, he disagreed b'chlal with the takonas at chatzot? Or, and this is the Rabbeinu Yonis, everybody agrees that there's a takonah at chatzot. He as well. The difference is that according to the chachomim, they were mafkia, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema after Chatzot. So that even if you read Kriyat Shema after Chatzot, you won't be Yotze. It makes no sense to say Birkat Kriyat Shema. And therefore they're asking him, I mean, so is there a point? If which case, did the Rabbanan kovea, what does Zman Kriyat Shema is? In which case, you want to read, you could read, nobody's stopping you from reading, but we're telling you this is the mitzvah. But that's not Zman Kriyat Shema. Zman Kriyat Shema is defined by the Rabban. And there would be no Gei of the Brachas. So therefore they're asking him, so how do we proceed? So what's he answering them then, according to this? Doesn't make any sense. So he's telling them they actually agree with me. Yes, we're all, even if they agree with you, but they made it takona. So now how can we listen to you? So that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the answer that the father is giving them is because of the fact that you are anusim. So since you're anusim, they never made this takona. But for a normal person who wouldn't have read, there'd be no point in reading now. So that would mean that there's two ways of understanding the Mishnah. If you read it the way that Rabbeinu Yonah is understanding it, and the Bach learns that the Rambam also sees the Mishnah this way, for good reason. Rashi as well says the case over here is because you were anusim. Then we'll have to understand the mitzvah of the Rabbi Gamliel as being similar to the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
So
in other words, they're anusim. They have a din of anusim. The Rabbanu didn't make a takana in a mokum of an anus. So this was their question. Do the Rabbanu disagree with you fundamentally that it's not even Zman Kriyat Shema d'oraita? Or is it just the takana that there's no Zman Kriyat Shema then, but in case of an anus, you would be allowed to read? And he answers them, they agree with me fundamentally, since this is a unique situation, even according to them, obviously you don't believe in my pshat. Good, I understand. But here the Rabbanan would also allow you to read. Not because that's not the Zman Kriyat Shema d'oraita. Now, again, there's two very different ways of understanding this point. If we learn that according to Rabbi Gamliel there was a takona ad chatzot as well, then the Gemara has to be asking the following question. V'Rabbi Gamliel, mika amar ad chatzot, tiktani v'lo zu bilvad? Does Rabbi Gamliel then agree with the Chachamim? That there's a takona ad chatzot? I mean, he's the one who said there isn't. So what is he telling his children? And you should know, this is not the only place where in a case where you would be an honest, you'd be able to act differently than what the Iker Chiyav is. What do you mean? You don't even agree that that's the Iker Chiyav. So again, if you're learning as those who argue on Rabbeinu Yonah's approach, Rabbi Gamliel indeed doesn't hold that there's a din of Avchatzot at all. So when we pass in halakha Rabbi Gamliel, as we did, it would mean that you can read L'chadchila until the morning, and there would be no inyan of reading Ad Chatzot. By the way, since the Rambam paskins like Rambam Gamliel, and all the other terms, and yet he still says that there's a mitzvah to read Ad Chatzot, Rashi doesn't hold like that. That's why the Bach concludes that he holds like Rabbi Yonis Pshat. So then the Gemara's question is simple. The Gemara's question is, Rambam Gamliel doesn't hold Ad Chatzot, so what's he explaining to his children? You should know that Ad Chatzot was just a Rabbanan. I don't even agree that there's such a thing. Or we could say Ad Chatzot, meaning that we were koveya, that that's the Zman, and therefore we can't do it afterwards, such as the Gabi Akilas Karchiv. It's usher to eat afterwards. So that doesn't, remember that we explained in the Mishnah, it doesn't prove anything though. Because by Karchiv, you can come Lidei Yisr. So over there, the Takona of Ad Chatzot is to prohibit. To say that by Kriyat Shema, therefore the Takona Ad Chatzot would mean to say that you can't read Kriyat Shema after Chatzot, in terms of being Yotze, doesn't follow necessarily. Okay, so those were all of the issues we discussed in the Mishnah. I'm just reminding you again, because here in the Sugya, it's Nogea, how particularly to read these words. So ask the Gemara, he didn't even say Ad Chatzot. So why is he explaining Ad Chatzot? Why is he saying, Velo Zug Bilva, what do you mean, not only this? Not even this. No, yeah. His children asked him, who do we follow? And he says to them, look, even the Rabbanan who said Ad Chatzot, they didn't really mean that Ad Chatzot is the Zman. But afil Rabbanan de Kaamri Ad Chatzot, not as I hold, mitzvata chi yale amud ha-shachar, v'ho de Kaamri Ad Chatzot kedei l'archik adam min ha-avira. And then we read all of the cases. Oh, fine, Hector Chalavim and Achilat Kodshim. Now, notice it doesn't say anything about eating the Korban Pesach, which would then follow eating your Afikomen, l'chora. Why does it talk about that? So, Achilat Pesachim lo katan. But that's funny, because the Braita actually does. The Braita says, Kriyat Shema Arvit, V'halel B'leilei Pesachim, V'achilat Pesach, Mitzvatan Achiyala Amud HaShachar. So you could use this as an example. Mitzvatan Achiyala Amud HaShachar, and the Chachomim were Koveat Chatzot. Rav Yosef, no, look at my, you know that there's a machlokus about this issue. Lokash, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, or Rabbi Akiva, remember that, leave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ad Chatzot is min Yoraita. Ad Chatzot is Pshat. This is a Harchokam in Rabbanan. Ad Chatzot. These aren't the same thing. Ad Chatzot, if you hold the Ad HaBoker, you're still agreeing it's Ad Chatzot, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the Pesach holds Ad Chatzot. Rabbi Akiva holds it's Ad HaLotzer Shabbat. I can start bringing that as an example. The Tanya. V'yachlu et habasar balayla hazeh. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, okay, what's this Laila Hazeh business? I mean, obviously, what else? New Year's Eve. So the pshat is, therefore, it says Laila Hazeh b'nogea, the Zman of Achila, but you'll notice by Makat B'chorot, it uses exactly the same lotion, Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim b'Laila Hazeh. That's clearly the import of a Laila Hazeh. Mala Alan Ad Chatzot, when was Makat B'chorot? Chatzot, exactly. Not a moment after. So Afkan Ad Chatzot. Says that is Rabbi Akiva. So according to this, what would be the din? Me'ikar Allah, the Torah says you can only eat until Chatzot, correct? Obviously, you can't bring this example in the Mishnah. Amalai Rabbi Akiva, look, that's mufrach from the etzem discussion in the Torah itself. The Torah says that you're supposed to eat it v'achaltem oto b'chipazon. So what's the pshat b'chipazon? When were you in a hurry? Before Chatzot, you weren't allowed to walk out the front door. So what are you in a rush for? Ella the pshat is, must be, in a rush to get out of Mitzrayim, which was only allowed immediately at daybreak. In which case, obviously you're eating it until daybreak, otherwise what's the point of eating b'chipazon? So im kein matam ud lomar balayla, so it says Rabbi Akiva, I do agree, however, that halayla, that the word halayla, that certainly implies, like you're saying, but I want to explain to you what it means. It means to tell me that your carbon pesach is not like a regular carbon. If you shech the regular carbon during the day, which obviously you have to do for your carbon pesach, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you brought your carbon pesach. So you say, okay, let's start eating. I mean, you don't want me to wait like those crazy Jews wait until they finish that all, the whole business, and then by that time, I mean, I'm dying already. So I'll start eating at 3:30 after my Shechitas HaPesach, like I would anything else. That would be the case if it were a Shlomim. So Yochel Yeinei Echal Kekodashim B'Yom. Talmud Lomar Balayla. That's why it has to say Balayla. That Balayla Hu Neechal Ve'lo B'Yom. Okay, but remember that doesn't explain the Hazeh. That just explains Balayla. So you could have said Vachalta B'To Balayla. So Bishleim, according to Rebbe Loza ben Azariah, he holds that that's the whole issue here, is the Balayla Hazeh, that I'm learning it out of Bechor. So if that's the case, Yitzchak L'michta, Balayla Hazeh, obviously, you need the word Hazeh, because that's the point, according to him. But according to Rebbe Akiva, why mention Hazeh? If you're telling me it's a din in night, say night. I mean, obviously, it's this night. What other night would you think? So Rabbi Akiva, Hayazem Mayavid, like, what is the point of saying this night, as opposed to which night? Ah, says Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you as opposed to which night, as opposed to tomorrow night. Because if you think about it, you would have possibly concluded like this. It's Lemuti Laila Acher Hudiata. It's coming to tell me not to eat it tomorrow night. Because Salkada Techamina, look, Pesach is basically kachet kachet. I mean, it's really fundamentally it's a korban shlamim. As a matter of fact, it's so much korban shlamim that if you don't bring it as a Pesach, it actually turns into a shlamim. You bring it as a shlamim some other time. So if a Pesach has a kachim kalim, a shlamim is kachim kalim. So what's the name of a shlamim? You eat it for 2 days and the night in between. Now over here the Torah says no, you can't eat it in the day. You have to start the zman achila balayla. Okay, so I say fine. You know what? In the same way I eat the shlomim. Same way I eat the shlomim for 2 days with the night in between. I'll eat this one for 2 nights. Of course, I can't eat it in the day because the person don't eat in the day. But that would be its equivalent, zman of achila. So, mar shlomim ne'echalim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad, av pesach ne'echal shtei leilot v'mokam ha'shtei yamim. In which case, v'yei ne'echal shtei leilot v'yom echad, theoretically, therefore I need to know, even though I'm telling you Laila, I don't only mean to wait until the night.
I don't only mean.
As in vicious, as in waking Richie's up and so on. Mean. So I don't only mean to eat it only at night, I also mean to eat it only this night. There's two issues that are involved here. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? I mean, any 2-year-old can read a pasuk. It says, lo totiru mimenu ad boker. Don't leave it till the morning. So I need Rabbi Akiva's brilliant drasha to tell me, well, but then you can eat it the next night. Except the Torah has said, don't leave it till the morning. If you leave it till the morning, it has to be burned. So how exactly am I going to eat it on the second night if I'm going to have to burn it the morning before? Explain to me that it was already also asnaisa. So Menotah Tiro Advoker. Rabbi Akiva says, well, now wait, it doesn't say which morning now, does it? It says till the morning. Maybe the morning is the second morning. I mean, the morning is whatever morning after the night that you weren't able to eat it, that you were able to eat it. So if I can eat it the second night, then clearly the morning is meant to refer to the second and the second night. And to that, Rabbi Elazar says, that is absolutely crazy. Every time it says till the morning, it means that morning. You're going to tell me if it wouldn't be for this pasuk, I would have said the morning means some other morning. How could that be? Kol boker boker rishon. Of course, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you cannot really burn noser in the first morning, which is fascinating, because ein sarfim kachim miyontev. So anyway, it doesn't mean really the next morning, in terms of hanoser mimeno ad boker based tisrof. Nonetheless, the lototiro mimeno ad boker, which isn't nogea some other issue, such as malachas yontiv, always means boker rishon. Now, the tanoim, the machlokas we just had over here between Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah and Rebbe Akiva, hani tanoi ka hani tanoi, is the same as a machloket, which wasn't based on these psukim, namely of halayla hazeh, or ad boker, the way we were learning here, but rather was based on an analysis of another pasuk.
What's
it? Sorry?
What's
You said that they, I mean, if you can't burn it on Yom Tov, well, what could you do with the meat that's left over?
Well, you could make it into a modern art display, I suppose, and charge admission, which is what a lot of people do for things like that. That would be one good thing to do.
Yeah, but in this particular case...
No, this particular case as well. I mean, you could sell the tickets before Pesach. That way there wouldn't be a problem. I don't know. Anybody have any better ideas? There's always a Jewish way to make money. Come on, let's try to come up with some. You know, if you come up with a better idea, that's also good. There's nothing to do. I mean, so you're certainly not going to waste the time, are you? He's looking at. Fine. Now, the machlokes that they have is the following price. The pasuk says what appears to be three separate times, because it says tizbach et haPesach ba'orev, which is ba'orev. We know when that is. That's evening time. You know, it's still daylight, but it's towards the evening. In other words, after chatzot. And then it continues on to say kivo haShemesh. Kivo haShemesh means after sunset. And then it says moed tzedcha b'Mitzrayim. Moed tzedcha b'Mitzrayim was the morning. We didn't go out of Mitzrayim in the night. So the pasuk, it contradicts itself now. It gives three different times and says that's the time to take care of your Korban Pesach. So what does that mean? Shom tizbach et haPesach be'erev, kivo haShemesh, moed tzedcha b'Mitzrayim. Now which one do you mean? Okay, so Rebbe Eliezer says be'erev means Richie. So v'yasita Pesach over there, tizbach et haPesach, that's asiyah zvicha, is be'erev. After chatzot, you do the shechita. Kevo haShemesh, after sunset, ata ochel, that's when you eat the Pesach. Moed tzedcha mimitzrayim, ata soret, and then you eat until chatzot, and you keep the meat around till the morning, and you burn it, actually the second morning. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, no. Be'erev ata zoveach, yes, after chatzos. Kavo haShemesh, yes, ata ochel. But the meaning of the reference to Moed Tzedcha Mimitzrayim is, the ad matay ata ochel v'olech, how long can you continue to eat? Moed Tzedcha Mimitzrayim. And then, baboker beis tisrofu. So there's basically four periods, four times that we're given. Shechita time, achila time, begin, achila time, end, and sreifa time, which is baboker. So now here we have the machlokes. If we have two points of reference for the achila time, then that means that you also can eat all night long. Whereas according to Rabbi Bozer, no, you can't eat all night long. The only point of mentioning the end of the time was that at that moment it becomes noser. Omer Baba, look, let's try to understand what's happening here. They're not arguing, really, about what happened. The historical facts are clear. Everyone agrees that the Torah views Geulat Mitzrayim as starting from the night, as we saw earlier, because we discussed in terms of Ma'ariv and Smichat Geulah L'Tfilah, we discussed already the Mismach Locus, whether we view Geulat HaErev as being important in terms of Gula, important enough to lead to Rabbi Yochanan's Psak, but you have to be Masvik, Gula L'Tfilah, the Arvit as well. Yeah? So everybody agrees, and it says in a Pesach, Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha Mimitzrayim Laila. It says in the Farish. The question is like this, when were they Yotze? Everybody agrees about that too, Kishi Yatsu Lo Yatsu El Abiyom. Shenema Mimochorat HaPesach, the next morning, Yatsu b'nei Yisrael b'yad Ramah. So Amar Nechlaku, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, in fact, how to explain that word chipazon in the pasuk which Rabbi Akiva used as the linchpin of his approach. It says chipazon. If you're supposed to be eating it b'chipazon, it means that the whole intent of the achila is let's get the suda done in time to leave. So that means that you have until the time you're leaving to get the suda done. And that means until the morning. And this is the machlokes. What does chipazon mean? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you know what chipazon means? Chipazon doesn't mean when you were rushing. Chipazon means when the mitzvim were rushing to get rid of you. When did the pressure start building to get out of here? As soon as Makat Bechorot came, they absolutely panicked the mitzvim. So they started coming, and they're yelling, get out, you wanted to get out, why aren't you leaving already? And of course, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Stan. What are we, a bunch of avodim? We get out when we're ordered to get out. When we're comfortable, we'll get out. You know. So, but meanwhile, the chipazon has begun, and that you were told to eat the Korban Pesach so that it should be preparatory to the Geula. The expression of the Geula was the fact that as far as the mitzvah are concerned, they couldn't wait till you left. Okay, see, obviously, you're no longer Mishabadim to Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva Sava, but why would that be called chipazon vis-a-vis the Yisrael? Chipazon must mean chipazon to Yisrael, meaning when I'm in a rush. Right now, the whole point was to show the mitzvah, sorry, we're in the middle of a meal, please. Come back tomorrow morning when we're ready to discuss it. So there, we call chipazon the morning. Tanya Amihachi, indeed, the Braita that was based on the other Pasuk, is also, has the same idea. So the Braita explains, why do you say Laila? So obviously it was the next day in the morning. The Laila means that indeed there was a Yetziah be'erev, but a Yetziah that wasn't expressed in terms of physical position, but was expressed in terms of the complete relinquishment on the part of Mitzrayim of any notion of being Meshabit B'Yisrael. Once we're on the topic of Geula and the process of the Yetziah, we want to understand why it was that at that time that you're in the middle of this chipazon, you're supposed to be speaking to the neighbors and asking if you could borrow their Jaguar for a brief trip in the Midbar. Of course, in those days it really was a Jaguar, but that's okay. So Daber Nabos Ne'ashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Moshe, please speak to them. What do you mean, please? How come all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleasing? I mean, he's been telling everybody what to do until now, and all of a sudden he's pleasing. So what's the please? Indeed, it means please, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds himself in a position of supplicant over here. Because, look, I mean, he's telling Moshe, do me a favor, please. You've got to persuade them that they should go borrow the neighbor's car. Okay? Tell them also, please. Please. Pretty please. It's important to me. Shalumi Mitzrayim click yes of a place. Why? Because you know what's going to happen if you don't do this. So what's Avram Avinu going to say? What they always say about me. Shalom Yomar Otot Tzadik. Sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Vavadun Vinu Otam, he sure made certain that that would happen. But the second part where he said, Achrechen Yetzur Berechush Gadol, somehow that got forgotten. So therefore it's up to you to make sure that, I mean, I have the whole thing arranged. All you gotta do is ask. And if you ask, they'll give it to you. So the Vavadun Vinu Otam Kiyem Behem. But the last part, Vachrechen Yetzur Berechush Gadol, Loki Abraham, typical. That's what they're going to say about me. So therefore, I ask you to please make sure that that doesn't happen. And of course, the reason that it's so difficult to get people to do this is because their first response to Moshe was, Amrulo, forget, what a Jaguar, just get me out of this place. Levi Shenet Sebat Sebeinu, Levi, we should get out of something. I start worrying about what's going to be now with my bank accounts. It's mashallah adam shayach avush bebeit asurim. This guy is sitting there on death row, you know. There he is in the dungeon. So they slip him a note. I'm going to make a big jailbreak. Just another 24 hours. Not only that, we're going to break the safe. And we're going to take out the money. So we're going to wait to get you out. So what's the guy's response? Will you do me a favor? Can we just leave now? Forget the safe. So therefore, to look at the situation with equanimity, and to say that, look, the whole point of the geula is we're not in any rush to get out. You're the guys that are in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. So if you're in such a hurry, why not facilitate matters a little bit? You know, a couple of automobiles and maybe some supplies. pack it up nicely, we don't want a problem in our backpacks and so on. When you got everything ready, we'll leave. And that's what the attitude has to be. So please get them to understand that this is the way to do it. Vayash ilum. So Amar Abami, Malamit Shehish ilum Baal Kokam, is a lotion of Hif'il. It's not a lotion of Vishalum. No, Vayash ilum means they got them to lend. So what does that mean? That's not clear. Ikadami Baal Kokam de Mitzray. The portion of Pshat is that Vayash ilum, they forced them into a position in which they would lend them the car. Vikadabami Baal Kokam de Yisrael. Others say no. It means that it was Moshe Rabbeinu forced Bnei Yisrael to take the things that the Mitzrayim were given. So, man, the Yom HaBal Kocham de Mitzrayim says, look, it says in the Pasuk, Nevat, Bayit Techalek Shalal. What was that Shalal? Shalal is the spoils of war. That means, obviously, they weren't giving it to you. They were looking at it as basically being the pillage of the country. Repeat that, Rich.
The pillage of the country.
Excellent. The pillage of the country. There we go. I have to say it, but I got So if it was pillage, then it was Vayash Ilum. That means they forced them into it. Man Yama Baal Korcham de Yisrael Mishum Matsui. Why would the Jews want to carry all of this garbage? And what do we do with it? Exactly. So because of that, they actually didn't want to take it. Moshe said, look, you got no choice. Vayenatzlu et Mitzrayim, there's two ways. We could look at that vayenatzlu as simply meaning, as the Targum says, vayiroknu, they emptied them out. So what would that mean, emptied them out, in terms of what? The point is, you have to look at Mitzrayim in terms of being the center of civilization, as a trap. Center of civilization is always a black hole, because all the money is basically siphoning into there, right? It's not anybody wants it to go there. I mean, if there was a way they could get rid of getting the dollars going to the Americans, they would, right? Okay, but the point is that when you're a leading civilization, that's where everything ends up. So it's really, you have to look at it as a trap. And now what they did is, Vayenatzlu, every trap has bait. They took away the bait. So they made a trap, but there was no Dagon in the trap any longer, and therefore there was nothing attractive about Mitzrayim at this point. People started saying, I mean, if they can't control their own population, and their people are riding on the streets, and they're walking around with signs freedom, and so on, it's all over. So therefore they destroyed the concept of Mitzrayim as trap. So this would be a bird trap, actually, where you put Dagon, they used to use glue. Bird would come to get the Dagon, the wings would get stuck to something, and then you could shech the bird, unless, of course, those of you who learned Chulin will remember Rabbi Yonah's approach to shechting Yonah, which was that he used kosher shechita arrows, you know, just shechted them as they were flying across the night, so that way it would be kosher. But otherwise, hunting birds is a problem. So they would use a trap. Whereas the other approach is to actually darshan the word vayinatzlu. Vayinatzlu we could read as coming from the same word as mitzula. Now the mitzula means the deeper parts of the ocean where sunlight doesn't penetrate. So it's mitzulot. You have very little light in the area of the ocean which is dark like that, unless you're all the way on the bottom where you have other sources of energy, you know, like deep sea vents and so on. But in the middle, where there's no photosynthesis, you don't have fish because there's no food chain. So the way to look at it is that they made it vayinatzlu like the mitzulot. So Rashi explains there's simply no nourishment available in the deeper layers of the ocean. Because of that, we use mitzula as a wipeout. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, now that we're talking about the conversations between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, and how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to approach it, and how he did approach it, there was another little bit of a misunderstanding, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, if they ask my name, I shall be what I shall be, which we know is one of the Shemas Hashem, Ekiyah Asher Ekiyah. What does that refer to? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Leichem Or Lehem LeYisrael, Ani Hayiti Ma'achem B'Sh'ibud Zev, Ani Hayei Ma'achem B'Sh'ibud Malchiyot. You could trust me. Every time there's going to be all of these tzoras, I'll always be there. So Moshe, what do they got to know from a tzoras for? They're in the middle of a tzoras. So Amalei Moshe, Amalei Fanavri Bono Shalom, Dayal Etzara B'Sh'ata. I mean, look, you can't, well, let's handle them one at a time. What do you got to tell them? They got to be prepared for tzoras in the future. Okay, fine. So lechem olam ek yeshulachani olechem. Forget about the asher ek yeh. That'll get them upset. Okay, so just tell them my first name, not my last name. Aneni Hashem, aneni. Omer be'avu loma amari liyo. This brings us all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, which was the value of the various tvilot biyichud. We started by saying lolam yizaher adam b'tvilat hamincha. So aneni Hashem, aneni, why did he say shtei pa'amim? Malamit shamari liyo lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam. Aneni shetereidesh ben ha-shamayim v'tuchal kol asher al ha-mizbeach. And then aneni shetasiach da'atam. We just get them thinking about something else, maybe, like their paychecks. Kedei shelo yomer, they shouldn't figure out a way to get out of it. Because, of course, their first response will be, ah, so he had it all wired up. So they'll say, it's ma'asek shafimim. Shenemra v'ata ha-sevot et libam ha-choranit. We see that Leo says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, ata Hashem Elokim v'ata ha-sevot et libam ha-choranit. Basically, you can play games with human perception, right? So, I mean, I know there's no way in the world that I can actually persuade anybody by doing these little tricks. But at least, don't let them think it was Isaac Shafi. You've waited a long time for this moment, Sabajash. So we've done Arvit. What is the time that we can begin reading Kriyat Rabbi Shacharit? Mishi Akir Ben Tchelet L'Lavan. And the basis of that, using Tchelet, clearly is not a coincidence. It has to do with Tchelet of Tzitzit. And indeed, the Gra points out that the Kriya of the third parasha, which is that really part of Kriyat Shema, except the Rabbonim added it to be Yitziat, in order to be Maskir, Yitziat Mitzrayim in Kriyat Shema. But the thing is, Uri Temoto, which is a reference to Tzitzit, goes together with a Kol Mitzvot Hashem, and over there, the Gemara Darshans in Benachot, that's a reference to Kriyat Shema. So that means that their Tzitzit references Kriyat Shema. Therefore, we understand, says the Gra, that Tchelet in Tzitzit has to be part of the dinim of Kriyat Shema. So the time of Kriyat Shema is Re'item. When you see your Tzitzit, which is Tchelet, then you say Shema. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, well, it's Tchelet, but I mean, to tell the difference between Tchelet and Lavan, you could do that at night. Right? Because you don't, even though you don't have color vision at night, but all you can tell the difference in the intensity of the light. The
fluorescent light will do it every time.
Rebbe, so therefore, if you want to get into a time in which you need light, then you have to talk about two colors, not the difference between white and some grayscale at night, which is still Tchelet. Therefore, take two colors that are similar, Tchelet and Kartis. You have a blue-green and a green, and then you can read. Ad, Karti is like a leak. Ad ha-Netzach HaMah. You continue to read until Netzach HaMah. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you keep going. Ad Shalosh Sha'ot. She came derech melachim la'amod b'shalosh sha'ot, because people in the Rosh Hashanah. What a chutzpah. The middle of Shir, that's when you call. It's 9:30 already. It's not 9:30. No, we finish at 9:30. Boy, you scared me. I thought it was really over the time. Talk to you later. So, here we had a machlokas, if you recall. Rashi earlier says the royal family sleeps ad shalosh shaot means till the beginning of the third hour. According to Rashi, ad shalosh shaot means until the third hour, not until 3 o'clock. Whereas, according to the other Rishayim, ad shalosh shaot means that it's until the end of the third hour, 3 o'clock, which is usually the way we refer to Shalosh Shaot. However, when it comes to the previous sugya, we have a problem. Because in the previous sugya, where did we have that?
Kadmu einai ashmorot, which means that there has to be two ashmorot after chatzot, which is 8 hours. So if you hold there's only three mishmorot, so you only end up with 6 hours. So how in the world could you say, oh, so the teretz to that was that 2 hours came derech malachim at shalosh shomer, shekel uriah. That it's got to mean only until the beginning of the third hour. I don't explain that gemara. But those rishonim explain that when it says b'nei malachim are at shalosh shaot for kriyat shema, there's two questions over here. What time do you wake up? And how long do you spend in bed getting up? Is also a question. So you get up. Yeah, okay. So you press the snooze button. You know, it's not, I don't want to really get up now. And then you press it again. Then maybe you listen to the news. Turn on a CD. This is only for royalty.
Drag yourself to shear.
Drag yourself?
Exactly.
It must be the royal blood.
That explains a lot of things. So therefore, there's two issues. In terms of Dovid HaMelech saying, you know, I woke up early. Otherwise, I would have woken up 8 hours later. That's true. And then the Shiloh, but you're still waking up. It's a slow process of waking up. So Bikumecha would mean until indeed the end of Shalosh Shos. It wouldn't be a steer then. HaKorei Mikan Ve'elech Lo Yifsid. Look, I mean, you don't lose reading after that. Kiadam HaKorei Batorah. And we'll see what that's supposed to mean. It certainly doesn't sound like much of a Kiddush. I mean, what would mean? Somebody would say, well, better not read it. What's the problem reading Kriyat Shema? By the way, we said earlier that there seems to be some fundamental connection between Kriyat Shema and Limud Torah B'chlal, correct? So here is another indication. Kiadam HaKorei Batorah. Anyway, when you say Ben Chelet Lava, what do you mean? Ilema Ben Givavava De Amr De Chivra De Givavava De Amr De Tchalta. You're talking about a spool of thread or raw wool, one of which is white, one of which is tchelet and has been dyed. You can see the difference between that in the middle of the night. How would you not know that in the middle of the night? Therefore, what it must mean is, bein tchelet sheba lelavan sheba. You took wool, you dipped it into dye. Now, in the daytime, you can see very clearly variations in the extent of absorption of the dye stuff. But not in the nighttime. You can't see it so clearly. Tosfos says that's a little bit iffy. Because, I mean, certainly you could have splotches that you would notice at night, too. We need something that's going to be a standard. I mean, what's a standard? Every time you dye it, it's going to be different. Therefore, Tosfos reconnects it back to the issue of tzitzit. And he says, when you wrap your tchelet around the tzitzit, you have tchelet threads and white threads, and they're very close together. There, to be able to tell the difference between tchelet sheba in the tzitzit, in the wrappings, and the lavan sheba, now that's already something else. Now obviously, it depends on the tzura of how you do that wrapping. In other words, Tosfos is assuming that the tchelet and lavan twists are alternated. This is the machlokes. So Rashi sees it as referring to the thread, dye threads. So therefore, it must mean the same one. Tchelet shabbat lavan shabbat. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishi Yakir Bein Ze'ev Lekelev. You have to be able to tell the difference between the wolf and the dog, as Herbert puts it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bein Chamor La'arod. You need to tell the difference between an ass and a wild ass. The Chachamim Omrim, Mi sheyira'et chaviro rachok arba amot v'yakirenu. Somebody who can recognize his friend at a distance of 4 amot and know who he is. Tosfos says, I mean, there's enough hints in body movements and general maintenance of posture. You know your friend is anyway. So he brings the Yerushalmi that says that it doesn't mean literally a friend. It means someone that you know and comes like once a year to Daf Yomi for a few days and so on. So you'd recognize him, but you'd have to see his face before it clicks in. Omer Avuna Alocha Kacherim. Omer Abaya, actually, don't say that as if it's a given.
When it comes to tefillin, that's the earliest time you can put on your tefillin, because it has to be part of ri'iyah. So then it's ki'acherim. But when it comes to kriyat shema, actually it's better not to say kriyat shema as soon as you can be makir your friend. It's better to wait and say kriyat shema the way they do it vatikin. How do vatikin means people that are especially medakdeik and are mentioned, they're anovim, Rashi says, they're humble. People that are responsive, not as one-upmanship. People that go out to do mitzvahs, to be holier than thou, are not vatikin by definition, according to Rashi, which is fascinating. You know, vatikin is not a description of what passes today for mahadrin. Not that there's really a concept called mahadrin at all in halacha, but the idea of vatikin is bedavka to address not the means of the shmira, but the type of people. That's the point that Rashi is making. So if you want to read it kivatikin, it's not kim mitzvato min hamufchar. That's not the point. The point is to read it the way people who correctly are medaktik with mitzvahs, because they're humble and they're shalem and so on. That's the best way to do it. And vatikina yugam rimotai manetza chama, it would be better to wait right until the end of the time of Alot HaShachar, so that as you finish Kriyat Shema, the sun is now coming up. Tani Ami Achi, Vatikina Yogom Nino Taim Anei Tzachama, Kedei Shi Yismoch Gu'ula Letvila, V'nimtza Mitpalel B'yom. The perfect balance there is to be Yotze two issues. Smichut Gu'ula Letvila, which we said all along is very important, so that Kriyat Shema is part of the Gu'ula process, and then to be ready to daven shachris, which you're only allowed to do at Netzach Hama, Lechatchila. So this way you are mekayim the perfect balance between the mitzvah of tefillah in exactly its time and still complete smichut gula l'tefillah. Om Rabbi Zera Maikra, Yira'ucha im Shemesh v'lifnei yareach dor dorim. So Yira'ucha im Shemesh means those who are mekabel pnei hashchina to be yore, the Meira of Malchus Shamayim should be Im Shemesh, together with the Shemesh. When is the Meira of Malchus Shamayim? When you say Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's Malchus that we use on Rosh Hashanah, even to be Yom Malchut. And Lifnei Areach Dor Dorim, Rashi says, is a remez to Tfilat HaMincha, that you should have Lifnei Areach, that according to this man, the Omar, the mitzvah of Mincha is to daven it right before Shkia, so that it's as you could begin to see the moon. So here we have now a sugya which talks about now the chashivut of the din of smichut gu'ula l'tvila in general. And remember that there's two different aspects. One is smichut gu'ula l'tvila bichlal, which would be true even at night, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The other is smichut gu'ula l'tvila vis-a-vis netz. That should be kederach vatikin. It's important not to confuse the two issues, as the Rishonim point out in the sugya. So, heyed Rabbi Yossi ben Elyokim mishum ki'ila kadisha tibi Yerushalayim kol asomech gu'ula l'tvila enoni zokol ayom kulo. Anybody who is zokol to do that can't be damaged that whole day. Now, Tosa says, what do you mean? But everybody does that. That's the way in which we daven. We say Go'al Yisrael, and then we say Shvan Esrei. Therefore, says Tosis, clearly it means Kol Hasomech Gu'ula L'Tefila Kivatikin. So, in other words, you were able to be mechavein, which is very difficult, especially if you don't have a watch, to be able to have exactly the time that you know you're finishing Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, the instant that the sun pops over the horizon. Now that's a heck of a big deal. Omer Rabbi Zeira, is that so, huh? Well, I can tell you, I've heard a lot of these stories about no damage occurring to a person all day. And I can tell you that B'didi Havi Yuvda, and I actually did Smeichat Gula Tfila, and I got damaged that day. So Vanan Samchi Ve'itzik, I ended up losing a lot of money that day. All my life. Get out of here, B'mayitzak. What are you calling losing a lot of money? That they appointed you that day as the guy who has to supply the hadasim for the castle, right? You have to go to the palace. You call that hezek? That the amtayet asel of Emalka? You should have paid money for the schus to do that. That's not damage. You should have been paying money to go have the schus of seeing the king, even though he's not Jewish. So don't use that as an example of hezek. How do I know that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo'olam yishtabel adam lorutz likrat malchei Yisrael. A person should run to see a melech. And by the way, lo likrat malchei Yisrael bilvad, elafil likrat malchei akum. You should run to have the schus to see the queen. Sheim yisker yafchin bein malchei Yisrael malchei akum. You want to be able to be zocher bizman Mashiach to know the difference between what was the concept of kvod melachim by the umayis. And what is Kvod Malachim for a Melech Yisrael? Omalei Rav Ilah l'Ula. Ki ayal tel asam, Rav Ilah talked to Ula, who was making Aliyah, and he said, when you get up there, Eretz Yisrael, do me a favor. She'il b'shalma de Rebrona achi b'mamat kol achabura. I want you to know, people don't know what kind of incredible brother I have. His name is Rebrona. Make a big fuss over him when he come up and say they, everybody's asking him, Bobo, what's with Agoin Rebrina? I want people to know about him. You should know an Adam Gadol. And he's an incredible man. V'sameach b'mitzvot. That shows a real mensch. There was once a time, Zimna Chada, Soma Gula L'Tfila. He was once Zaycha to be Masma Gula L'Tfila. Again, clearly this means in terms of being Mechavi the moment of Netzach Hama. He couldn't stop smiling the whole day. So a guy like that, that a mitzvah means so much to him, deserves that kind of kavod. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue the year. Sorry, these dafim take so long. These dafim wouldn't take as long if actually we could start on time.